Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rico Muhammad, your host of the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'm hoping that my audio is not too terrible this evening. I got a different type of setup, and unfortunately, this is all I have to work with at the time. So hopefully it's not bad. Hopefully it's okay. We'll try and work it out if it's too bad of an issue. Tonight we will be joined, waiting on my co-host Chuck Snow to come on board with us. We also will be going over our regular thing. We're going to talk a little bit about how the current situation that's going on with the rate in the freight market and how I think that there's a bigger story to be told as far as with the government shutdown as well. How that shutdown is actually having an effect on us as well. And I got some very, very scary numbers that I was able to come across as far as what this shutdown is costing the American economy every week. And so I think that we are starting to feel that pinch across all segments, but especially us in the transportation industry, because we supply the suppliers. So we are always going to be the first. We're kind of like the canary in the coal mines. We're the first one to find out exactly what shape the economy is actually really in. Because, you know, before it starts to trickle down anywhere else, we're going to feel it. We're going to feel the pains and the aches of that first. But before I get it, delve off into that, and Chuck, if you're on, press number one so I can find out where you are. I got several different lines that look very familiar. So press number one for me, Chuck, and if you're on, and I can try to get you up and on board. But before we go to Chuck and bring him up and on board, we're going to go ahead and jump over into this week's USDA truck rate report, fruit and vegetable report, I'm sorry. In this week's report, there's quite a bit of movement on here. But once again, I think all of this is indicative because it seems as if across the country, we're seeing different types of blips all across the country as far as with the rates and with everything else is concerned. So right now is one of those times where we got to kind of, you know, we really got to cut back, make sure that we're not overextending ourselves, and we got to get back to basic fundamentals as far as weathering these types of little storms, these little blips out. It's not that big of a – I'm not going to try to minimize it, because I've been getting a lot of phone calls lately, and a lot of people have kind of been worried and really concerned about, man, why is things going this bad? I thought that, you know, we wouldn't see these kind of drops in rates and everything. And, you know, unfortunately, we are in a supply and demand type of environment. And if we have not done the hard work of insulating ourselves by developing and cultivating relationships and having our own contracts, and we are at the mercy of the spot market. Unfortunately, and it's a tough pill to swallow. We're going to have to deal with it if we haven't taken steps and proper measurements to insulate ourselves from these things. But going back to the USDA truck rate report, we have absolute shortages right now going on in southern New Mexico. That is one market where there may be some opportunities that may present themselves out in southern New Mexico. Other areas that have slight shortages of trucks and availability, the San Joaquin Valley, California. They're moving onions out of there. There are some melons that are beginning to move out of North Carolina, southeast Missouri, southwest Indiana, and southeast Illinois, Vidalia District, Georgia, Valley, Twin Falls, Burley District, Idaho, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Eastern North Carolina, once again, and Columbia Basin, Washington. All of those areas that we just rattled off really quickly there, they all have showing a slight shortage of truck availability in those areas. So if you are working the spot market, you may find a modicum of relief out of those areas, areas that you might want to outright kind of avoid unless you got something set up there where they are showing an outright surplus of trucks, lower Rio Grande Valley, Texas, and Mexico crossing through Texas. With that being said, let's move right on. Let's jump over into this week's DAT Trendlines report. Truck count rises, spot rates fall. That's kind of like the headline of the DAT Trendlines report. Truckload capacity has returned to the market in force, and national average rates for dry vans, reefers, and flatbeds continue to decline in a typical slump, seasonal slump. Falling fuel surcharges are adding to the downward pressure on rates. For a more in-depth look, let's dive into this week's van demand and capacity portion of the Trendlines report for the week of January 13th through the 19th. Van load post on DAT load boards increased 8% last week compared to the previous week, while load post declined by 13%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to drop 19% from 4.6 loads per truck down to 3.7 loads per truck. That's the lowest load-to-truck ratio since May of 2017. Historically speaking, compared to November, van load post declined by 5% in December, while truck posts fell 12%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio for vans to increase from 5.6 to 6 loads per truck, an 8% increase compared to December of 2017. The load-to-truck ratio is 33% lower. Right now, we are showing that diesel prices have dropped by 1%, showing a national average diesel price of $2.98 per gallon. Moving on, looking at how the rates were performing for dry vans over the previous week of January the 13th through the 19th, fuel surcharges capacity are bringing van rates back to pre-holiday levels. Last week, the national average van rate declined 4 cents, dropping down to $2.01 per mile. Truckload capacity has increased significantly in the past 2 weeks. Historically speaking, for the first time in several years, the national average van rate did not increase from November to December. December's average of $2.07 per mile was a penny lower than it was than the November average. Compared to December of 2017, the monthly average is 5 cents lower than it was this time last year. Taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Philadelphia, Pennsylvania being the representative city, showing an outbound spot market rate of $1.83 per mile. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, we have Atlanta, Georgia being the representative city, showing an outbound spot market rate of $2.03 per mile. Moving over into the Midwest, we got Chicago, Illinois checking in, showing an average spot market rate of $2.34 per mile. Dropping to the south central portion of the United States, Dallas, Texas, showing an average dry van rate of $1.68 on the spot market. And wrapping up the report, coming out of Los Angeles, California, showing an average spot market rate of $2.25 per mile for dry van. That wraps up that portion of the report. Let's move on and see how flatbeds were performing over the previous week of January the 13th through the 19th. Capacity has returned to the market following the holiday season. Flatbed load posts on DAT load boards fell 2%, while truck posts increased 13%. As a result, the national load-to-truck ratio has fallen from 25.1 loads per truck to 21.7 loads per truck. Flatbed load posts fell 6% in December compared to November, and truck posts were down 17%. That led to a 13% increase in the national average ratio for flatbeds from 18.5 to 21 loads per truck. The monthly average ratio was 41% lower than it was at this time of December of 2017. Let's take a look and see how the flatbed rates were performed. Over the previous week of January 13th through the 19th, the national average rate for flatbeds declined 4 cents to $2.38 per mile on average. as capacity has returned to the flatbed market, historically speaking, the national average flatbed rate was unchanged in December compared to November, holding at $2.42 per mile. The monthly rate was 10 cents higher than the average for December of 2017. So, taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have an outbound spot market flatbed rate of $3.79 that leads the nation. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, we have an outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at $2.70 coming out of Atlanta, Georgia. Moving up into the Midwest, Rock Island, Illinois shows an outbound flatbed rate of $3.07 per mile. Moving down into the south central portion of the United States, Houston, Texas, checking in, $2.69 per mile. And coming out of the West Coast, Phoenix, Arizona, being the representative city, showing $2.08 per mile on average flatbed spot market rates. Moving quickly right along into the reefer demand and capacity report for the previous week, reefer capacity bounced back following the holiday season. Last week, truck post increased 5%. While load post fell 15%, which caused the load-to-truck ratio to drop from 6.1 loads per truck down to 4.9 loads per truck. It's been more than 6 months since the load-to-truck ratio has fallen before 5 loads per truck for reefer rate, which also moved lower. Historically speaking, reefer load post fell 9% in December compared to November, but truck post also fell 9%, and that kept the nationwide load-to-truck ratio average at 7.2 loads per truck. Compared to December of 2017, the reefer load-to-truck ratio is 49% lower year-over-year. Jeez, I did not have an idea it was that bad. Moving on and seeing how the rates were performing for reefers over the previous week, the national average reefer rate fell 4 cents to $2.37 per mile on average, as increased capacity and falling fuel surcharges pushed rates lower. The national load-to-truck ratio also declined. Historically speaking, reefer rates moved 3 cents lower in December compared to November to an average of $2.44 per mile, including fuel. Compared to December of 2017, the rate was 4 cents lower year-over-year. Taking a look around the country when it comes to the rates on the spot market for reefers, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, Elizabeth, New Jersey being the representative city, showing an average of $2.08 per mile coming out of Elizabeth, New Jersey. Moving to the southeastern portion of the United States, Lakeland, Florida checks in, showing an outbound spot market reefer rate of $1.46 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Green Bay, Wisconsin leads the nation at a solid $3 per mile on average. Coming out of the south central portion of the United States, we have McAllen, Texas being the representative city, showing an average spot market rate of $2.24 per mile. And wrapping up the report, coming out of Fresno, California, we have an average reefer spot market rate at $2.23 per mile. That will wrap up this week's DAT report. And one more report before we jump in and bring our co-host on, Mr. Chuck Snow. Bad broker report. Good thing is this year, so far, we haven't had a lot of entries. We've only had 3 entries that have made the report this year. And starting off right now, the first one to make that entry onto this report, Founders Logistics LLC. They are a freight forwarder. Their MC number is 016560. They have over $20,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. They are considered an extreme risk. Resource Market Services, LLC. This is a shipper. Resource Market Services, LLC, or RMS. They are out of Schererville, Indiana. Their phone number, 219-322-1739. No broker authority or bond. They have over $16,000 and non-payment complaints that have been reported. Diamondback Transportation, their MC number is 776-693. FMCSA shows their trust fund scheduled to cancel on 2/9/19. They have over $26,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. They are also considered a very extreme risk. that will wrap up this week's Bad Broker Report. And with that being said, let's grab our co-host, Snow. Chuck, how are you this evening?
Oh, we're doing well. Rico, how are you?
I cannot complain, my friend. I hope my audio is not terribly bad. I'm on a different type of a setup. I didn't have my normal setup. I'm hoping it's not terrible, hoping that it comes through halfway clearly so everyone can understand what it is that I'm saying.
It's not bad at all, from this end anyways.
Very good, very good. Glad to hear it. Well, Chuck, and we got quite a few listeners on the line tonight. We always welcome your participation. If you have anything that you would like to add to the discussion tonight, you can press number one. That puts you in the call screen. That puts you in the queue, and we'll try to get you up and on board with us. Chuck, it's been a bumpy ride here these past couple of weeks.
It certainly has. You know, Rico, I think you, when you were just starting the report, you just hit the nail on the head about the situation, and what's really making it an awful lot worse is, just like you said, it's this government shutdown. And I saw it right, it actually hit me right in the face last Thursday, I guess it was. I played truck driver for the day, and I took one of our trucks to Chicago, and it actually took me, I crossed at Port Huron, Michigan, and the whole exercise took me 3 hours, which should have taken me 2 minutes. But this included a 2-hour lineup at the border because the customs guards, allegedly, they're having some sort of a slowdown or whatever because some of them aren't getting paid or it's in sympathy. I don't know the whole story, but it certainly took longer. There was something going on, a labor dispute, as a result of the government shutdown. And then I unfortunately had to go inside because I was actually clearing the truck I was driving because it was going to go down to our new facility in Chicago. And that exercise took me an hour. So it was 2 hours at the bridge in line and then an extra hour in the building. That was 3 hours out of my day. And I got to tell you, when, you know, looking at the faces of the other drivers that were standing in line, I am sure that if somebody offered any of them a job that day swinging a hammer on a construction site, they would have left their trucks there.
And Chuck, I came across a very eye-opening number trying to do a little bit of prep and research for the show. Have you heard the numbers as what this is costing the economy on a weekly basis for the government being shut down? Because I got some numbers in front of me that is absolutely astounding.
Go ahead, read them off because I would only be guessing.
According to analysts at research firm S&P Global, the current shutdown could cost the economy about $6.5 billion with a B per week.
Wow.
For as long as the government is shut down. That is a tremendous amount of money on a weekly basis. And like I said, we supply the suppliers. So
yeah, of course.
We are absolutely the canary in the gold in the coal mine. So we are really starting to feel the pinch. I know that I'm hearing a lot of other guys that are leased on to major carriers like Mercer and Landstar here. And, you know, I have friends of mine that I talk to and just kind of, you know, and just passing conversation. And even these guys, you know, no one has really been it's safe from it, but it's just, you know, as far as, you know, the availability of freight or the rates that are coming out that the freight is moving at right now, it's a really good time to be making sure that you are sharpening your pencil and that you're running a very tight operation and that you don't have a lot of extreme overhead. And that's one thing that we have to keep our spending in check, even on a personal level, to make sure that we are not overextending ourselves, even in good times, because we are always, it seems like we're always on the cusp of these rainy days.
Oh yeah. You know, I just subscribed to this this podcast through Kevin Rutherford's crew at Let's Truck, and it's a gentleman named Noel Perry. And if any of our listeners want to catch it, this guy is, he's probably one of, if not the best, he's one of the best economists in our entire continent pertaining to trucking. This fellow has his finger on the pulse of trucking.
He's with FTR and Associates. They put out a report every Monday called Monday Morning Coffee. They put them, and it's a free report that they come out. And we used to try to make sure that we put a link to that on the Facebook, on the Facebook groups. But yes, Noel is very knowledgeable when it comes to what's going on in the economy and what's shaking. I just wanted to kind of reiterate what you were saying and let caller know from area code 276. I see you, and we're coming to you here just in just a few minutes.
And he was talking about this in the podcast that I was listening to. Now, I wasn't doing it live. I was doing it because I missed that one. I had some other things, so I was listening to it online while I was doing something else. And, he just hit the nail on the head. And what he said, the same as you just said, this is not a – the current situation is not a time for investment. This is a time – the only place we should be investing our money is in our bank account. Pay down debt, put your money away. There will be a time, you know, as we get out of this, we're just going in to this next cycle. Now, remember something, we are the first ones to always feel a change of the wind. We're at the front of the ship. So we are going to feel this change, and we will feel the first change when we come out of this. Now, when we come out of this, the people that feel this first, and they will do the best at the beginning, of course, are the flatbed haulers. Because building starts, or the building starts finish, and they're slowing down now. Our flatbed carriers out there are starting to feel the compression in the marketplace, and that'll stay compressed until we get out of this thing, which will be 2021 at some point there, maybe towards the end. So we may have a rough 2 years, and we're not in the storm yet. We're just, you know, there's just a few clouds, and there's some wind, and we're used to no wind and sunny days, because we all got terribly spoiled last year, for 6 months or so. And reality's starting to set in, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Caller from 276 area code, we're going to you right now. You're up and live with Repo and Chuck. How can we help? What's your name and where you calling from, caller?
Hey, this is Chris and Angela. Chuck, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Great. Doing great. It was good talking earlier today. You know, Chuck, we were talking earlier about this slowdown that's happening right now. And, of course, as you know, I'm pretty new to the trucking industry. I've just had my CDL since December. But I've had an interest in trucking for a long time. I attended Kevin Rutherford's CMC conference back in Council Bluffs back in 2018. Before I even had a CDL, I had that much interest. My wife and I, Angela, who's with me here, we're rolling down the road. And, we're talking about what's going on right now. Is it because it's January? Is it because of the winter weather? Is it because of the government shutdown? What exactly is happening here? Because, of course, in our situation, we're owner operators, but our truck is leased to a company, and we are dispatched. So, of course, we're kind of at their mercy, and the rates we're seeing don't really line up with what we've won or what you think you'd see 2 or 3 months ago. So, I just want to talk a little bit and get you guys' take on what exactly is going on there with the different lanes. Right now we're heading from southern Texas up into northern Illinois. From there we're headed out to Southern California. And, the rates don't look that great. After a fuel surcharge for us, $1.33 a mile, $1.40 a mile. So just wanted to bring that up as a topic and hear your guys' take on it.
I think you're going to, at $1.40 a mile, to go to California, I think you're going to be underwater unless you get a really good backhaul to make up for it. You're way under. You know, when I got into this business, now I realize things are a little bit different, but I'll never forget when I first got into this business back in 1974, an old-timer said to me, you need to get per mile what a gallon of fuel costs. And Chris and Angela, if you can buy fuel for $1.44 a gallon, tell me where, because I'm going to send a whole tanker over.
we are as well. We're in our situation, we're kind of at the mercy because, I know this show is mostly about the rates and lanes, but kind of like to back it up to a different level, you know, with us having our own truck and me not having much experience, there aren't many companies that I can go and you know, my wife has more experience than me. There aren't many companies where we can go and have her train me. So where we're at right now, which you won't say the name of the company, they're letting us do this, of course, and run the freight. But this is kind of where we're stuck for a little bit. And of course, we want to do the smart things. We want to build the relationships with those brokers so that, you know, in 3 to 6 months, we can get freight that never even hits a load board. So, you know, that's some of the things, of course, we've learned from you, Chuck, and then we've learned from Kevin Rutherford. And we're using that as our goal right now. I feel we're paying our dues. We're not making as much as we want. But I feel like in the near future, keeping listening to you guys and listening to guys like Kevin and just listening to the DAT reports and keeping up with the rates and what's happening where, I feel like we'll be in a good position. But like you said, you know, you listen to Noel Perry, and, you know, even back in fall of last year, he had this same mindset about what's going to be happening. You know, back then he was predicting it, and now it's actually happening, and he's still talking about it. So he's one guy that everybody should definitely be paying attention to. That guy lives, eats, breathes, and sleeps trucking economics and transportation economics. So I highly recommend anybody who's interested, even if they're not in trucking, it's very interesting to listen to what he has to say because he is always right.
He is. He knows his stuff. He's been doing it for an awful long time, and he's right on the money. He can, you know, he's a great, you know, economic guide for all of us, and we all need that. You know, everybody needs somebody to kind of lead the way, and he's able to do this because he's certainly seen what the storms look like way before they happen.
And one thing just to throw in there, one thing to add to the whole to the whole point is that it's kind of like we're kind of like in the eye of the perfect storm right now. You got the seasonality is usually a slow season compounded with the governmental shutdown, and I think that with all of those factors accumulating together, everything happening all at the same time. Like I say, we're kind of like in the eye of the storm right now. And right now, it's one of those things where we're going to have to tighten up, you know, all of the things we're going to have to be extra diligent on as far as making sure that we're trying to get the best fuel economy that we possibly can so that we can try to save that money to put it down to our bottom lines, maybe slow down a little bit more. All the basic stuff that's always been recommended and that's been talked about, that's going to go a long, long way. And making sure that we're keeping our costs in line, and running a very tight ship. You know, maybe not idling as much. I know the weather's a little bit colder, but maybe having some alternative idling solutions while we're out here on the road to try to save that diesel instead of it being wasted going out the stack and just sitting still. We actually use it while we're going down the road. Just all of the very fundamental basic things. And at the same time, continuing to try to either cultivate those relationships with good brokers or trying to identify potential customers if we have our own authority or something to develop a customer base to where we can try to insulate ourselves a little bit more from the wiles of being on the spot market. Those are time-proven solutions that I think can help us, but, you know, right now, it's just, you know, right now, we just got to keep our nose to the grind and kind of grin and bear and get through this thing, and hopefully, you know, these guys stop having a pitching contest in Washington and get people back to work where we can try to start to see our way clear out of this thing.
Yeah,
very true.
I agree. I think everyone's going to benefit when that happens. And, you know, I was going to ask you guys as well, you know, for a couple like Angela and I who, you know, to be honest, we've never spoken directly to a freight broker or agent. So what would you guys say to people like us who really want to move forward with this business and this industry to start building the relationships with those brokers? You know, having never spoken to one, there's got to be a first step. And beyond what you can read online for positions, what would you say?
Let's start by this. What is your vision for yourself and for your company? Where do you see yourself? Where do you want to go? That's the question. You kind of have to start with what the end in mind. What does the perfect, if you had everything built out that way in your dream, what does that look like? Where does that take you? And that may take you down a road to where possibly you may not want to even talk to brokers. You may want to, you may want to try to identify, you want to build relationships, of course, but you may want to be trying to identify those customers that could make you, that could help fulfill, because the one reason why the spot market and everything is so volatile is because it's commodity-driven. We are in a commodity-driven service industry. But if you can get into different industries within transportation that's not so commodity-driven, that may be more, place more value on quality of service and things of that nature, say, like, for instance, if you're dealing with someone with white glove service or even, like, pharmaceuticals, different things that are within the transportation industry that are not so commoditized as general freight or general goods or whatever. Those might be some different things if that's in the game plan of your business plan. If those are the niches that you want to be involved in, you know, finding those niches and finding those potential customers that can help insulate you from the volatility of being in the commoditized segment of the freight market.
Well, to that point, that is a little bit along the lines of where we want to be within the next 6 to 8 months. We would like to be getting into the white glove side for somebody, say, FedEx Custom Critical. I know there's some money there, and I would like to see how that type of operation works and then how somebody can grow a small fleet either around their freight or starting with their freight, learning how that side of the business works, and then building your own relationships with people who deal in hazmat, with people who deal in pharmaceuticals, with any kind of government shipments, anything that requires, you know, things beyond, you know, toilet paper and cat litter. So that's where we see ourselves, hopefully within a few years, with a transportation business that, you know, includes a small fleet of trucks that haul specialized freight and have, you know, higher-end drivers that, you know, you can trust, and, you know, having a small niche business that can really do things that most other trucking businesses can't, because they're either so focused on the regular commodities or because they just don't care and they're happy with where they're at. But we want to, you know, I'm way beyond thinking that you can just start running a business and kick your feet up on the desk. We know it's hard work, and we know it'll take a lot to grow. But we want something that will you know, that will be lucrative, and we want to do it smart. We want to grow it slowly so that we don't have debt, and we also want to grow it to a point where our name gets out to, you know, hey, if you guys have something special that you need there on time and in good shape, you know, you need to call Chris and Angela. So that's a rough idea of where we see ourselves in the next 2 years.
Well, that's great. Find out. My advice would be, start off with the SIC codes and NACS codes for that particular commodity that you would like to do, and that will give you some ideas and start searching within those code bases within the states or the areas that you plan on servicing. That'll give you an idea of, okay, these are potential customers that we need to be maybe talking to. And then you can take those, once you identify those customers, then you can start to cross-reference those customers. Go to LinkedIn and put the company names in LinkedIn. And then you can start to identify maybe potential contact people that you might need to be contacting within those industries or within those companies, and start developing relationships, you know, with the ability on LinkedIn that can give you, and then that gives you an insight to maybe you can start to cultivate. I just always strongly advocate and recommend broker is the low-hanging fruit. That's always going to be there. I'm wanting to challenge our listeners and myself. I'm not just throwing it out there for you, but I'm saying that it's kind of therapeutic for me too, because it's coming back at me at the same speed. I'm challenging you guys and myself. Let's make 2019 the year that we go after what it is that we visualize our companies are doing. And the only way that we're going to get there is by attacking what it is that our vision is. And so we have to go, if that's what we want, we have to attack what we want. And that way you can't complain. We can't sit around and bellyache about the rates, because the broker's obligation is to look out for their best interest in their business. And it's your job to look out for your best interest in your business. And the only way that you can truly do that is by taking the bull by the horn and gaining your own customer base. That's my humble opinion. And that's where I stand on it. Chuck, you got much more experience at this thing and much more successful on a greater level. I might be just going. I might just be living a pipe dream. What you think?
No, I think there are some people out there that are going to be able to market themselves. I meet them all the time, and they are the type of people that would be able to. They have the wherewithal to market themselves to a direct customer. But there are several people I meet, and the majority, and I'm not picking on our profession, but the majority of them are great at operating trucks, but they're not great at, they don't have what it takes to go in and make a sales call and make people comfortable. Now, Rico, I've known you for several years, and I know that you've had experience in sales to begin with, and you are a salesman. So, you've got it up on a lot of people. Chris, I met you, and we spent some time together, you and Angela, when I was down in Council Bluffs at Kevin's, and I think that you two have what it takes to go in front of a customer. But you know, as I do, that there were several people at the CMC that they would get laughed out of a customer because they just don't present themselves professionally. And you know, you see it, and you actually see, listen, I've met people that own trucking companies, and they own fair-sized trucking companies, and they have salespeople because, hell, you would never put these people in front of a customer because they would embarrass their company. They're great at operating trucking companies. They know all of our equipment. They know about money. Everything is a specialty, and there are those people out there that, and I hope some of our listeners are those people, that can get out there and break bread with direct customers and make friends with them and get them as clients. That's good for everybody. There's enough trucks out there to service our markets. And to have some of us go out there and have direct accounts, that does good for everybody, because it makes everything that much better. We want people, the brokers want people to do well. You know, and whether I wear my broker hat or my trucker hat, I certainly want the people that own the assets to do well. If the people that own the assets are in financial trouble, that's not good for anyone.
Well, I agree with you. And you guys have both given us some very valuable information. And I guess we'll end it here and let some other callers get in. But it was great talking to you both. And I will definitely be calling again soon. Love the podcast.
We hope so. We want to hear about. We want to hear how you made out on your trip back from California. Let's see what the revenue turned out to be, just for the heck of it.
We'll let you guys know. Have a good one.
Okay, take care.
All
be
right,
safe.
Appreciate it, Chris and Andy.
Okay.
So that opens up a line for anyone else. If you want to get in, you can press number one. But, yeah, Chuck, I just, you know, I'm hearing a lot of people. I don't like I like for us to try to be solutions-based oriented, and I know it's easy to fall into complaining and you know, sometimes we get worried and get concerned, and that's natural. But, you know, it's just one of those things that we gotta, we need to be solutions-based oriented, and if we're not, you know, crying and worrying about it ain't going to change the dang on thing. With that being said, we got another caller that wants to get in. Let's go and grab the caller. Caller from 316 area code. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Rico, Bruce Jansen calling. I'm calling from Central Kansas.
Hi, Bruce.
Good evening, Bruce.
How are you guys tonight?
We're good. How you doing?
Yeah,
sir,
I'm doing
Bruce,
all right.
I've been
listening and. A couple questions and then a comment about the last caller. First of all, the question, Rico, during the time when you were giving your rate reports, you were talking about reefers and you made a comment, I've never seen it that bad. I missed what you were saying ahead of that. What were you, you said something like, I haven't seen it that bad or I didn't think it was that bad. What was that about?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. I'm gonna go back to the let me see if I can find it because I want to make sure that I'm giving the right information. It says that compared to December of 20. Now you have to understand how they're comparing December of 2017 because December 2018 has just went out. So it's not that they're going 2 years back, but they're actually doing a year over year comparison. And so
okay.
The reefer load-to-truck ratio right now, based on the 2017 and 2018 year-over-year comparison, it is 49% lower year-over-year. So that's so
amount
compared
of loads,
to 2017, yes, the capacity and the load were at half, operating at half of what we were in 2017.
Yeah, I believe that. Well, I've been visiting with some of my friends that are in the produce business, and if you look at the USD rate report on the very last page
right.
That comes out every month, every week, you have this year's corresponding week and then a previous year's corresponding week. And I've been tracking that, and every week-to-week comparison from last year to this year, we're down anywhere 20 to 40% in the number of loads being reported to USDA. And like last week, there was roughly 40,000 loads reported to USDA that got shipped, both domestic and import loads. And last year, there was 50,000 loads shipped. So that's 10,000 less loads per week. You take a 6-day shipping or a 7-day shipping, you're looking at close to 1,500 to 2,000 loads every day that aren't there that was there a year ago. You know, just that small segment of the industry is putting a lot of extra capacity on the market.
Yeah,
I mean,
great
that,
point.
That,
and, you know, a lot of capacity has been added in the past year.
Yeah.
People have been buying trucks like crazy. If you've talked to a truck salesman or a trailer salesman, they tell you that they're sold out for months at a time.
Yeah. Now, a couple questions or comments for the caller that was just on ahead of me. We're in a high-capacity market right now. If you don't have an MC number, insurance, and equipment, how are you going to even talk to a broker? They won't even talk to you, will they? I mean, that's been my experience. If they don't need you, they're not going to talk to you.
Well, that's not – you know what? That's not always true because
okay.
I know that people are willing to develop relationships. If you go in and you talk to a broker, and in their case, if they went in and talked to a broker and said, listen, we, you know, told them the story. Now, here's a young couple. She has she's probably got about 3 to 5 years experience as a driver and I think as an owner-operator. And he's a newbie. But they're smart people. They present themselves really well. They can go in to a broker and say, listen, we're only on, we're leased onto a company until you know, until we can get our own insurance, but we want to know how this works and everything else. And a smart broker would say, well, listen, this is what we do, and this is how we do it, and these are the lanes that we're looking for carriers right now. You're going to offer, you know, offer services as a team. This is, you know, this is what we would have. And you start those relationships. You know, it's just like going to, you know, I'm sure the first time you ever went to look at a new car, you weren't really interested in buying one, but you're certainly interested in looking at one. And, you know, there's always a need at every brokerage house, I don't care how big or how small, for great carriers. And as I said to one of our people today, the vast majority of the motor carriers in all of the United States are between 1 and 10 trucks. And somebody else, Rico, you may have the numbers a lot clearer than I do, but if I'm not mistaken, there's something like 400,000 motor carriers in the United States, of which 1,000 have more than 100 trucks. All the rest of them are small carriers. So your small carrier is really the lifeline of your brokerage company for the most part. Granted, we use big companies. You know, we use Landstar and J.B. Hunt and Schneider and all the rest of them. But the main business we have, we use hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of little carriers that have between 1 and 10 trucks. And they're our main carrier because we're everything to them. We are their dispatch department because we load them both ways, and we're their bank. So those relationships, I don't think they're, you know, if they figure out what they want to do and they say, well, we want to run between Chicago and North Carolina, and they make friends and relationships with some brokers in Chicago and some in Charlotte, North Carolina, it wouldn't hurt. Because they will get their authority probably within 6 to 12 months as soon as they can get insurance. And I can tell you from my own experience, Bruce, trying to get insurance right now as a startup in the United States is next to impossible.
Yeah, I know. They're really hitting them hard with premiums and inexperience and no past lost rest. You know, we heard that last week, you know, on that guy that you had on as a guest from Phoenix.
Yeah, he was fantastic. The only problem is I couldn't get a word in edgewise, but he was phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, okay, I guess I'll ask you a question for myself. I have always been told don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, and one of the guys that mentored me in my business, he said, I'd rather have 100 customers who come in here twice a year than have two customers that come in 100 times of the year. And, you know, he was liking that to my trucking business. He said, you need 50 customers that call you 3 or 4 times a year rather than 4 or 5 customers that produce most of your business. And so I guess my question is, you suggested, like a lot of people, you dispatch them in, you dispatch them back. I've always been told that's not a wise thing to do. Am I looking at it wrong?
Yes and no. Okay. First of all, if we're talking having direct customers, you should have a few, because when you lose one, and I've been there, even as a fair sized broker, and lost a big client, it hurts. So you know, there's an old thing they talk about in business, the 80-20 rule. You usually get 80% of your business from 20% of your customers.
Correct.
That's how it normally works. If I can steer you and all of our other listeners away from that and have, you know, try to work it the other way. Have 20% of your business from 80% of your customers. And you'll be much better off.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work that way. Now, you got to remember something else about trucking. And Rico and I preach this all the time, Bruce, that we'd love our listeners to be running shorter miles. So if you ran shorter miles, yeah, you could have more customers perhaps, or maybe you have customers that have specific needs. So in your case, and I don't know where in Kansas you're from, but if you're from, you know, let's say you live in Topeka and somebody there has loads to Kansas City and you meet a shipper in Kansas City that has loads to Topeka, you know, you could probably do, you know, 3 round trips a day. And if you had a couple of customers, but the further out you go, the more difficult it may be.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on your business model. And, of course, if you go into the less-than-truckload business, and I'm not talking about the one-skid orders, and I think our listeners should listen to this part because it's a very good part of the business to be in these times. A lot of times when you get into recessionary times, people aren't shipping full loads of freight. They're shipping partial. And when I say partial, they may be shipping 10,000 pounds. And historically, your LTL carriers don't really want the 10,000-pound shipments because it really ruins things for them. And there's a great market
right.
in it. So you could really put four of those or even five sometimes on a trailer, and you can make good money peddling them. So the idea is that, you know, to run a short distance, a few hundred miles, and you get customers, and you can get direct customers, you can get brokerage customers, you can mix them up. And it's a great way to be smart when we have these recessionary times and to make money and to have several customers. And you do it that way, then all of a sudden you don't have to put all your eggs in one basket and you can have quite an assortment of customers. Especially if you pick two areas, both of them have a fair-sized population within a region that you could drive to comfortably.
Well, see, I'm in a unique situation, or at least it's my situation. My wife is living in the Phoenix metro area taking care of her aging mom, and she's
right.
been there for 5.5 years. And I have a direct customer that would load me every week out of central Kansas, but his freight goes north and east. It doesn't go nothing ends in Phoenix with him, you know,
right.
and very seldom does he have anything even going to Phoenix. And so I'm in a dilemma. I would like to service him every week. And when I do, I make very good money doing it. Problem is, then I don't get to see my wife. And so, you know, that doesn't work either. So, you know,
it's
and so
one.
What?
My best
you know,
advice,
so what
Bruce. Go ahead. What are you doing?
Well, I was just going to say, I found a customer that ships to Phoenix weekly, but every 3 months, a different brokerage firm has those loads. And so I'm always looking for the broker that has them because the shipper won't talk to a one truck operator. I've already checked in with that. They will not. We don't even discuss, you know, business with guys like you. So, you know, what's a guy to do in that case?
Yeah, that's a tough one. How are you making out getting out of Phoenix back to Kansas?
I don't go to Kansas.
Okay, where do you go to?
Bruce, the company that says that they won't talk to you, I know that that's always a dilemma that we small guys always run into. Have you tried to go to the backdoor method and see if there's someone that you can talk to on LinkedIn, an actual officer, or see if you can establish some type of a contact through a back channel route to kind of see if you can get someone to walk you in the back door so that you can walk out of the front door, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I know some people who know people that live in that and work, you know, in that company, and they've tried to, you know, do some talking for me and just put my name out there, and that has not worked. But no, I have not done LinkedIn. That's, you know, so. But
well, you can always take a shot at it. Unfortunately, what happens quite often is they've been burned by one truck operators, and they don't want to be chasing 20 one truck operators. They want to call one central number, and they want to just one central number, get the freight dispatched, and worry about making their widgets. That's their big concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you asked about how I get out of Phoenix. Until this year, I could always load produce 6 months of the year, either out of Yuma or Nogales.
Right. Yep.
Sometimes out of Maricopa, you know, a little closer. I've actually sometimes picked up vitamins and stuff out of the Casa Grande area, but not very often. But this year, with no produce crossing the border there at Nogales, it's difficult.
Yeah, that's the other difficult part. I was just reading a story I was going to bring up as well. Just like you were saying, Chuck, you know, with the government shutdown, it's having an effect, especially on perishable goods getting across the border.
Big time. I walked into a grocery store here on Sunday night, and I got to tell you, I've never seen anything like it in my life. There was nothing there.
Says article headline
one of the
on
shippers.
The article, the next victims of the shutdown, your food, flowers, and toys.
Yep.
Well, I had one of my shippers, one of the shipping companies I loaded at said that it's not the shutdown they're worried about. It's the fact that Mexico had heavy rain at the beginning of the growing season and the crop isn't there. And the quality is low. And so a lot of it's getting rejected by the U.S. and Canadian buyers at Nogales.
Right. Yeah, I know for a fact the avocados this year are lousy.
Yeah. You know,
with Valentine's Day coming up and the flowers and everything, you're probably going to be paying through the nose for flowers this year.
Yeah,
Valentine's Day. It's cost you a lot more money this year, Rico.
Yeah, take her to the flower shop. Let her look. Take your wife to the flower shop. Say, honey, I'd buy those if they weren't so expensive, but I love you. And then leave.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You can just give it a shot. Maybe if you can, like, even try the switchboard and get a see just for the hell of it, because you don't have the freight now. Make a call and see if you can get an appointment, or just get on the line with the vice president of purchasing or vice president of finance. Say, listen, this is a one off, but I know you ship once a week to Phoenix, and I can do it, and I can save you guys some money. I can't do all of it, and I know your logistics guys don't like that, but I'm wondering if we can do something here. Sometimes it doesn't always work, and I've tried that sort of thing going back door like that before, and it's worked a few times. It doesn't always work. Sometimes it blows up in your face, and they go, who's this guy? Don't ever let him near this place again for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, looks like it's about time for you guys to wrap up the show, isn't it?
Pretty close.
Getting about that time, Bruce.
Well, give me a call sometime, Rico. You know my number.
We'll do it, my friend. I need to reach out to you real soon. Appreciate the
phone
call tonight.
All
right,
take care.
Thanks for calling, Bruce. Be safe out there.
Wrapping up, you want to give the good people information on how to get in contact with you? We got about
sure can. Yes, if you want to get hold of me, you can email me chuck@trafix.com. I'll answer your emails. If you want to call me, I will get back to you. Leave a message with a phone number. It's really, really important. I get back to everybody. You can call me at 800-388-4352. My extension is 203. You have to have that extension when you call. Otherwise, you're going through voicemail hell, and I don't want to do that to any of our listeners. I don't want to do that to anybody, but unfortunately, we have about 100 people in this particular office, and one receptionist would never do it. You can also reach me on Instagram at Chuck Snow, CEO, and I'll get back to you if you have some questions. If you need to get set up with us as a carrier, even if you have one truck, I'll hold your hand. I do this for all of our listeners. I'll get you set up with the people you need to talk to at one of our offices and make sure you get loaded. And most important, I'll make sure you get paid.
There it is. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, taking time out of your schedule. Tell a friend to tell a friend about the podcast. Of course, we're always available over at Rates and Lanes on the Facebook. Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad. I want to say God bless you. Good night. Be safe out there, everybody, and keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise until next time.
Catch on the flip-flop. Be safe.